I'm going to be speaking today or reading a scripture from Matthew 4 in verse 17. And in the Bibles in your pews, it's on page 1500 if you want to turn to that. I'm going to be reading from the ESV, and I think you have the NIV in the pews there. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I'm also going to be reading 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 23. That's in page 1781 in your Bibles. "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside of the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, thank you, dear, for reminding me that it's been a year almost. I probably would have forgotten that. I never know what she's going to say. Never know what's going to come out of her mouth, so I take no responsibility for that. Thank you for having me back. You guys are brave. I always enjoy being here and go to the men's breakfast, about every men's breakfast that you all have. And so I stay in touch and fellowship with all the men anyway, but it's good to see you ladies as well. I got a text from Bonnie this morning, and she's praying for you, as is Joe, and they're having a good time, she said, and she is praying for the service this morning, and particularly for me. I told her I need a lot of prayer, so I think that's why she said that. Well, this morning I'm going to be just posing this question to you, as you've already seen in your bulletin. How teachable are we? How teachable are we as individuals? How teachable are we as a church? Do you know that the word teacher is found 215 times in the Word of God, depending on your translation? And in order to be taught, what do we have to become? Anybody? Teachable, okay. Is a student teachable? Well, that depends, right? Yeah. We should be teachable if we're students, right? But how many times do we think of ourselves as being students? One of the things that I need to work on, my wife reminds me that I need to work on a lot of things, but one of the things that I need to work on is is being more loving, because I'm very good at speaking truth, telling truth, you know, just the way it is. Sometimes I come across a little bit, what do you say, Deb? Intense, yeah, and so forth. So I need to learn to be more loving. And how do I do that in my marriage? Well, I have to be a student of my wife, because she's really good at that. Now, when it comes to truth, well, I'll stop there. but she's very, very good at loving, and I need to be more like her. And I'm surprised she's not saying amen to this. But anyways, I need to be more like her and more loving. And it's not that I'm not loving, it's just that I need to learn to be more loving. But in order to do that, I need to be a student of my wife. And So I'm going to ask that we bow our heads right now and just ask God to make us students this morning, okay? Can we do that? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and worship you and to learn. And we pray that we might be students, that your Holy Spirit would teach us, and that we would be not just hearers only, but doers. And not only doers, but also practice what we learn. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, one of the things that I learn when I'm getting older is that I don't see as well as I used to. Brother Jim doesn't see as well as he used to. He told me this morning when he came in, he says, I can't really read that. So that's why it's all darkened, so that Jim could read that. Or sometimes when you're too far back, right? When we're getting older, all kinds of things happen. In fact, I had cataract surgery, I think, 2 weeks ago, something like that. And my eyes are all cloudy this morning, so y'all look really good. So that's to your benefit, I guess. So when we get old, you know, a lot of times we get set in our ways. How many of you heard, can't teach an old dog new tricks? Right? All of you? Yeah. Or most of you anyways. But, you know, we need to be teachable. And I think the older we get, the more set in our ways we become. So we need to be reminded of this. And, you know, whenever I speak, I first have to apply it to myself. And my wife even reminded me, as you know, she said, well, what are you going to be speaking on? And I said, well, being teachable. And she said, well, you need to be more teachable, you know. And so I have to apply it, or my wife will apply it to me before I come up here and stand. It's great to have a wife to pick on, isn't it? So I had to really do a lot of introspection in preparation for this message. And, you know, I was struck by how many things that I am, stuck in my ways, I guess I'll say, that have nothing to do with, you know, the Bible, or nothing to do with much of anything other than this is just the way I do things. Sound familiar? It's just the way we do things, you know? And just the way we do things a lot of time will determine how we interact with each other, how we even act in church, or how we interact in church, as the case might be. And one of the things that the Bible talks about in Matthew 28, it says, go into all the nations, making disciples of all the nations. See? And one of the things that I learned back when I was in seminary, the Greek word is didaskalos, which that means nothing to you, but that's what that word means, and it means teacher. And again, in order to learn, we have to become students or disciples, followers, right, of the teacher. And Jesus Christ is the greatest teacher of all time. Amen? Yeah, okay. Again, I keep teasing you every time I come, the chosen frozen, right? So be teachable, right? You can say amen. It means so be it, right? There you go, see? Being teachable, see? And we must never stop learning. We must never stop growing. Now, as I thought about this, I thought about, you know, what are the barriers to teaching? And before I get to that, let me just say, you know, many, many forms of communication are like a triangle. Not necessarily all good, but in this particular case, to be teachable, right, we got to be going this way, learning. And in order to learn, or I should say when we learn, we grow. And when we grow, it's because we're teachable. And we can go this way, around here, this way, right? But it's all about a triangle. And if we are teachable, we're going to be learning. And if we're learning, we're going to be growing. And don't you all want to grow? Well, some of you do, right? And you might say, well, I'm too old to grow. Well, I thought I was too until I got one of these, you know. But what are the barriers to being teachable? Well, you know, one of the barriers is, I'm going to say that it's pride. And my wife and I were doing devotions here the other day, and we kind of sort of had a disagreement. And guess what the disagreement was over? Pride. Okay, let's try to make pride applicable, right? And in order to make it applicable, we have to start with what? I, right? I can be very prideful, right? And we had a disagreement over whether I was prideful or whether she was prideful, but, you know, we're going back and forth, and I'm there, this isn't working, right? But it's because of pride. Pride gets in the way of our being teachable. We've never done it that way before. How many times have you heard that? Or, you know, well, I don't like that. Or, I don't want that. And it has to do with pride. Pride gets in the way of us being teachable. Our experience gets in the way of being teachable. Well, this has been my experience, and because my experience is this, then no, I'm not going to do that. Well, we all have different experiences, don't we? Okay? And our pride gets in the way of being teachable, being, what shall I say, more tolerant with other opinions or viewpoints or most anything, right? And I want to introduce you to a phrase, another barrier that I'm going to call, and some of you may have heard this, some of you may have not, it's called cognitive dissonance. A-N-C-E, I'm a terrible speller, right? Well, what is cognitive dissonance? Well, it's a huge barrier to being teachable. And most of us are not aware that we are all cognitive dissonant. And what does that mean? It means that we have conflicting beliefs about things or conflicting ideas about things that, you know, they contradict each other. And it keeps us many times from being teachable. But where do they come from? They come from our belief systems, see? And one of the things that I used to do, I still do on occasion, is counsel. It's something I've done all of my life. And I used to tell people, some of you might already know this about me, but I'm a confronter. news to some of you, but not very much news to some of other of you. But anyway, when people came in, I would say to them, at the very first session, I would say to them, after, you know, why are you here and so forth, and they would tell me their issues, their problems, or what have you, and I would say to them, we can see God do wonderful things in your life. We can see God do great things in your life. If you can give me just two things. And they would say, well, what's that? And I say, well, that you're teachable. And that you're committed to the process. Because learning is a process, right? It's what I call an ING thing. It's a process. And so, in church this morning, I would say to you, right? Are you teachable? And are you committed? Well, you say, well, I'm here. Well, yeah, but see, there's where the cognitive dissonance comes in. See, you might be here, but that doesn't mean you're here, right? Let me give you an example. And I heard this way, way, way back when I was a young whippersnapper, I don't know, in my early 20s maybe, something like that. So it's borrowed, but I think it really fits here. A mom and a little boy were in church, and they were sitting in a pew. And the preacher was starting to speak, and the little boy stood up to go somewhere. And mom said to him, "Sit down, son." And he didn't sit down. And so he started to move, and his mother says, "I said sit down." And he just looked at her and went like this. And she said, "I said sit down now." And so he sat down and, you know, like, and then he started to smile. And she said, "What are you smiling about?" He says, "I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm a standing up on the inside." Now that's cognitive dissonance. See? You might be here, but, you know, I'm here, but, you know, what am I thinking about? Am I thinking about dinner? Am I thinking about the rest of the day? See? Cognitive dissonance. It's competing opinions or belief system. And what is your belief system? See? Yeah, you might be a Christian. You might be a Presbyterian, right? Let me see, your EOC, I was understood, right? Your EOC? Yeah, okay. What is your ECO? Some EC, yeah. Evangelical Covenant Order. There we go. I'll get it right. I'm teachable. But being cognitive dissonant has to do with what we believe, see? And there's very little that we, what shall I say, must obey. And the Bible calls those commandments, right? There's no doubt about it. We must obey the commandments. God has given them to us. They're in stone, literally, right? And we must obey them. And then, you know, there are things like doctrine. But sometimes even our doctrine needs to be looked at to see if it's in line with what the Scripture teaches. See, and one thing that is in stone as well is the Bible is the inspired Word of God. It changes not, right? And much of what we believe has to do with our understanding of what the Bible might say. Right? But realize, okay, that it's maybe your understanding of what it says. You know, when I was, again, a young whippersnapper, I went to Bible college when I was 28, and by that time, I already knew everything. I mean, who doesn't know everything at 28? I knew everything. I mean, you know, I was a started as a freshman, and I remember being challenged on a number of things, and one of which was had to do with what the Bible had to say, and you were required to go to chapel, and I thought the Bible said something different, and so I didn't go to chapel that particular day, and then you were allowed 3 cuts, so, you know, I exceeded those 3 cuts, and so I was invited to go to the dean's office. So I went to the dean's office, and he said, "So you exceeded the amount of chapel cuts. Can you tell me why?" And I said, "Yes, I can." And so I told him why. And he said, "Well, son, you know, this is not the way it is here at the college." And I said, "Look at here." I said, "You're not speaking to a snotty-nosed freshman that just got out of high school." I said, "I'm 28 years old, and I know what I believe." And probably sounded a little arrogant, didn't it? Yeah. I've been accused of that a lot. But anyways, he said, "Well, I want you to write me a paper on your position paper," he called it. So I wrote, you know, a paper on it and brought it back, and he said, "Well, okay." He said, "I can certainly understand how you came to that belief. And he said, so we're going to make an exception. And he said, whenever this particular thing happened in chapel, you're not required to attend. And I said, thank you very much. But he was teachable, wasn't he? Now, he might have thought I wasn't teachable, I don't know. But boy, that went a long way, you know, for me. And as I learned throughout, hey, I didn't know everything. And then when you study the original languages, the Greek and the Hebrew and so forth, and you start to learn it for yourself, and it's like, you know what? That's even a poor translation. That really shouldn't even be translated that way. It should be, you know, and again, but learning and teaching, being teachable, see? But I had a belief system, see, that said, okay, I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm a standing up on the inside, you know. And so these two things, more than anything else, are barriers to community. And you know, let me, for a moment, this is some of my counseling background, but you know, I was talking with Linda this morning, and she said she had a horrible couple days, and she was telling me about it. And it was very painful, very, very painful. And pain can shape our cognitive dissonance, see? Because when we're hurt, I mean, how many of you want to be hurt? Let me see the hands. Come on, nice and loud. Nice and loud, nice and high, right? How many of you want to be hurt? Come on, there's got to be somebody that wants to be hurt. Be brave. Oh, you did it just because I was egging you on, right? Okay. Well, you're a huge exception if that's the case, because I'm going to say nobody really wants to be hurt. And so what do we do to prevent from being hurt? Jim, you didn't really take that into action when you went on your walk and tripped over the, you know, and right? None of us wants to be hurt, but so what do? We take, and Marsha made sure that he's not going to make that mistake again, right? We're going to take precautions to being hurt, see? And what we do is we build walls around ourselves so that we don't get hurt, see? And that keeps everybody at a distance, see? Keeps everybody at a distance. I'm going to let you get so close. And even we do this with God even. And we do it in our churches. Because how many churches have split over silly things? We're not going to do that again. So this is what we're going to do. Right? End of story. Well, where is that? Where is that in the Bible? You know, I would challenge you to think about it. But pain, you know, I grew up in a very abusive home. And a lot of it involved my mother. And I grew up, you know, I remember at 12 years old saying to myself, you know, when I grow up, I'm not going to have a woman tell me what to do. Marsha's laughing. Well, at least it's not my wife that's laughing, you know. And you know what? That's led to a lot of problems for me. That's led to a lot of problems for me because, you know, I don't function very well when a woman is a very strong personality. And in counseling, guess what? I had lots of those. And it was God's way of teaching me how. You know, you can learn. And one of the things I learned from a woman when I was counseling was, don't go where you're not invited. I never forgot that. And I thanked her for that, you know. Thank you for teaching me that. You know, because I can be like a, you know, bulldozer sometimes, see. And she said, don't go where you're not invited. And Deb has heard that a number of times, right? Even in this past year. Are we invited? Because if we're not invited, we need to think about this, right? So being teachable and cognitive dissonance, remember that. okay? Because we're all cognitive dissident, but recognize it, realize it, that we're going to be resistant, and to the point that we might even rebel. Over what? Over our personal preferences, over our ideas, over our experiences, whatever it might be, can keep us from being teachable. Now, Jim's got his watch going, so I better wrap this up pretty quick. How about we as a church? You know, we'll forget all this right now and say, okay, not forget it, but apply it. How about we as a church? And I say we. As we were singing, Jim said, come on, church, let's hear you. That's great, because the building's not a church. Really isn't. It's a structure, but you are the church. I am the church. Now, you may not like me, but you got to love me, because I'm part of the church. I'm part of you. You are part of me. See? And so, again, how teachable are we as a church? See? Now, Deb read from the, what was it, the English Standard Version. And you all have NIVs in your pew. Well, there used to be a day when I went to college as a freshman. I was raised on the King James. And I went with my King James, man. You know, and this is it, you know. And that worked until I started learning Greek and Hebrew, and I'm there, wow, you know. And then I went to the NIV. And then now I like the ESV. But how teachable are we? Right? Can we say, you know what? The only Bibles that we're going to have in the pews are going to be NIV. Well, NIV is a very good translation. Very readable translation. And let's take a look at what we do. And are we open? Are we open to change? You know, the scripture that was read this morning, that Jesus says, you know, repent. That's changing, isn't it? Turning, ing, turning from something, and particularly sin, right? We're not talking about sin here, but we're talking about turning maybe from something that doesn't work as well as it used to. So we need to turn to something else that works better, see? Well, we always done it this way before. Well, okay. But this church probably has done a lot of things the way it used to be, and you're different than you were, I don't know, 10 years ago? Jim, you were here 10 years. Are you different than you were 10 years ago? Yeah. See? And we need to be growing and changing and going with what is going to be reaching people, because we need to be. Are you here this morning just to take up space? Right? We're certainly here to worship, but you know, the scripture said what? Go ye into all the nations. There's the King James coming out, right? Go into all the nations making disciples. Are you making disciples? And what are we doing as a church to reach our community? You know, I was coming up the road from Milk Can Corners here, and I'm there, boy, you know, it'd be great if every house on this road came to this church. You know? Wouldn't it be great? See, what are we doing to reach those people? What are we doing as a church? What are we willing to do? You know, and so translations, technology. You know, Deb and myself, we go to a church where they put the scripture up on the screen. And Deb doesn't like that. She wants to have her Bible with her all the time, you know. Well, have it open, right? And I'm there, whether it's up on the screen or in front of you, it's still the Word of God. See? Yeah, I know, but I, you know. Sorry, hon. I had to pick on you. I'm going to get it later on, that's for sure. But anyway, right, how teachable are we? And, well, because there's, you know, a number of people and so forth, and not everybody brings their Bible to church. So this way here, hey, there it is right in front of you. See? How teach, and, oh, here, just before, and I'm going to quit because you're probably going to throw me out after this. Well, what is more sacred in church than music? Music has divided more churches, I think, than probably anything else. Music. Music. Think about that. It's notes on a page, isn't it, Joyce? And is it something else? I hear something else there. She's there, okay, where's he going to go with this, right? Hey.
It's the color of the choir robes, you never know.
It could be the color of the choir robes. Well, we always had what? White robes or something, right? Yeah. How silly, right? Or we criticize our brothers and sisters in Christ. And by the way, you know, you're not the only Christians in Franklin Hill. You know, there are other Christians here, right, that may go to other churches. And a lot of times we criticize our fellow. Why do we do that? Well, because they go to a church where, you know, I don't know, notes on the page or, you know, I don't know, jazzier or something. I don't know what it is. I'm not a musician, so. But all I know is how teachable are we? How willing, how open are we to reaching our community for Jesus Christ? Because there's nothing more important than that. Amen? Boy, you better say amen to that. If you do, I don't know, right? And with that, I'm going to just close. Jim's going to say amen to that one. If I go too long, they edit me anyway, so that's what Ron tells me. So I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians and close with the scripture reading that Deb had. And I just want you to think about this. For though I am free from all, Paul says, I am free from all. We're free. We're free from all, aren't we? We live in a very, thank the Lord, we're not going through what's going on in our world here in America, right? We're free. But listen to what Paul says. I made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. I made myself. He didn't say, I liked it. He said, I made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. And then he goes on, you know, back and forth with the law and the Jews and so forth. And he says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. And then he says this, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some or win some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in the blessing. And with that, I'm going to close and just leave you with a challenge. How teachable are you? How teachable am I? I really had to do some introspection as I was preparing for this. And where is it in your life that God is speaking to you right now and saying, you know, you need to be more teachable? Because that's what's going to speak and minister. If it doesn't, we're going to be cutting out a lot of people, shutting out a lot of people, maybe even our wives or our husbands or our children. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit that applies the word to our lives. And I pray that as we leave, we might leave with that question upon our heart. How teachable are we? Make us teachable. And might we make a decision to be teachable? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.